Well, as Chris was sharing, I was just reminded of this part of John, which I really love. It's one of my favorite little parts. Oh, get that not to roll. There we go, it's going to stay. So it's when Jesus is calling his disciples. So the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip and also the prophets wrote, "Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, "Come and see." So this, I realized, was kind of what I want to say to you this morning. Just come and see. I'm not going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to try and show you Jesus, because this is what he said to me, come and see. So I'm Holly, for any of you who don't know me, most of you probably do. I'm Matt's daughter. He's watching from home at the moment, so hi, Dad. I've been away for the last 7 months. I got back a month ago. In January, I went to Switzerland for a period with YWAM, a youth with a mission. So I went to do a discipleship training school, which is a five-month school, which is based around knowing God and making God known. So the first 3 months I was in Switzerland, we were doing lectures, and it was all about this, this seeing Jesus in a new way, this learning about him and taking a lot of the things that a lot of us knew in our heads and applying them in our lives. It's this really deep kind of heart-searching time. It was really challenging, but it was a really incredible time. And then I got the privilege of spending 6 weeks in North Africa on outreach after that, where it was applying all these things that we'd learned about Jesus and his goodness, and really just getting to love local people the way that we'd learned that God loves us. So that was a really amazing time, challenging. We learned a lot about the power of our prayers, the power of our words, and the power of being bold in the authority that we have been given. And then I was going to come home after that, but I felt God saying to stay for a little bit longer. So I stayed for another 2 months in Switzerland. I staffed at the base for 1 month. And then after that, I did a five-week school called Word by Heart, which was all about storytelling and all about internalizing these stories from the Bible that we know so well, but sometimes we don't really know them. Just some of the things that God taught me. Firstly, as Chris was saying, his faithfulness was such a big thing. It was, I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember, so I've always known that he is faithful. But it's this call from God to come and see it for myself, So I saw in new ways how he'd been faithful through my whole life and was going to continue to be faithful through the rest of it. Another big thing was that life is about living with him, being with him, before about doing anything for him or gaining anything from him. We learned so much about how if our aim in life is anything less than God himself, then we can end up using him as a means to an end. We are called first and foremost to relationship with God. And this was something that, God really put on my heart so much more in this time. As I kind of briefly mentioned before, another thing was that our words have so much power. Our prayers have so much power. And stories have a lot of power. They have the power to move people and to make our experiences real to other people. And one thing that God definitely kind of challenged me with was that if we can be moved by reading a book or watching a movie, like how much more should the stories in this book move us? And how much more should they be real to us because they really happened? So I felt this kind of challenge from God of what if you lived life like this book was really, really real and these stories actually happened? What if you read the Bible like this actually happened? So yeah, as I was kind of thinking about what I wanted to share today, I felt God challenging me and showing me more and more how the stories alone in this book are powerful. I don't have to do anything to big them up or, kind of make them seem good to you, because it's just Jesus. And yeah, he's inviting us to come and see the real human Jesus as he is. So I'm just going to tell you some stories from across the Gospels, all words from the actual Bible, not necessarily in any order or anything. It's just, just some stories about Jesus. So I just invite you to listen, to come and see Jesus, to invite the Holy Spirit to show you something in this time. So I'll just pray and then I'll stop. So, yes, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are an experiential God. You invite us to come and see you. It's not just about head knowledge. It's not about just knowing in theory that you are good and you are faithful, but you invite us to come and see that that is true. That is true in the lives of all these people in your book, and that is true in our lives too, God. So yeah, Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this time just to show us Jesus. Amen. So, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sin or his parents' sin?" But Jesus told them, "It wasn't because of his sin or his parents' sin. No. This happened that the power of God would be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us, for night is coming and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." And then he spat on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and spread it over the blind man's eyes. And he told him, "Go and wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Now his neighbors and the others who had known him as the blind beggar said to each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I am the man." So they asked him, "What happened? Who healed you?" And he told them, "The man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, told me to go and wash myself in the pool of Siloam. So I went and I washed and I came back seeing." And they asked him, "Well, where is he now?" And he said, I don't know. So then they took him to see the Pharisees, for it had been on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. And the Pharisees asked him all about it. So he told them, "He made mud, spread it over my eyes, and when I washed it off, I could see." And some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus can't be from God, for he is working on the Sabbath." But others said, "How could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was a deep division of opinion among them. So again, they questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What's your opinion of this man who healed you?" And he said, he's a prophet. But they still refused to believe that this man had been blind and could now see. So they brought in his parents and they asked them, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? And if so, how can he now see?" And his parents replied, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We don't know how he can now see or who healed him. Ask him. He is old enough to speak for himself." And I said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying that Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. So that's why they said, "He's old enough. Ask him." So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, "God should get the glory for this, because we know that this man Jesus is a sinner." And the man said, "I don't know whether he's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see." The Pharisees said to him, "But what happened? How did he heal you?" And he said, "Look, I've told you once, were you not listening? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to be his disciples too?" And they cursed him and said, you are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. And the man said, why, that's very strange. He healed my eyes and you don't know where he comes from. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the beginning of the world, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man wasn't from God, he couldn't have done it. And the Pharisees answered, you were born a total sinner. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he said, who is he, Lord? I want to believe in him. And Jesus answered, you've seen him, and he is speaking to you. And he said, yes, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, I have come to this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think that they see that they are blind. Now some Pharisees who were standing nearby overheard this and said to Jesus, are you saying that we are blind? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim that you can see. Then Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, who are religious leaders, who say that there is no resurrection from the dead. They posed this question. Teacher, Moses gives us a law that says, if a man dies leaving a wife with no children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child to continue the brother's name. So suppose there were 7 brothers. The oldest married and then died with no children. So the second brother married her, but also died with no children. And the third brother married her, and this continued with all 7 of the brothers. And still there were no children. Last of all, the woman died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? All 7 were married to her. And then Jesus said to them, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In that respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. But now, as to whether the dead will rise, haven't you read about this in the writings of Moses, story of the burning bush? Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead. You have made a serious error. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, this was the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No. This happened for the glory of God, that the Son of God would receive glory from it. So although he loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for another 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, come, let's go back to Judea. His disciples protested. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? But Jesus said to them, there are only 12 hours of daylight each day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. And then he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will truly believe. Come, let's go see him. Then Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. And when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Now, Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. Now, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I believe that God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." She said, "Yes, Lord, he will rise when everyone else rises on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" And she said, "Yes, Lord. I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who came to this world from God." And then Martha returned back to Mary, and she called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and he wants to see you." So Mary immediately got up and went to him. Now Jesus had remained outside the town at the place where Martha had met him. And when the mourners who had been in the house consoling Mary saw her get up so quickly, they assumed that she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, so they followed her there. Now when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the others wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. He asked them, "Where have you put him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus wept. Now those who were standing nearby said to each other, "See how much he loved him." But others said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Now, Jesus was still deeply troubled when he arrived at the tomb, which was a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. And he told them, "Roll the stone aside." But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. "Lord," she said, "he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." But Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I say it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, that they would believe that you sent me." And then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, "Unbind him and let him go." Now when those who had been with Mary saw what had happened, they believed in Jesus. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them all that Jesus had done. So the Pharisees and the leading priests called the high council together. And they said to each other, "What are we going to do? This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. And then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation." Now, tax collectors and many other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. And this made Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So he told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "I want my share of your estate now, before you die." And his father agreed to divide his wealth between his two sons. A few days later, the younger son had packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land where he wasted all his money on wild living. Now, about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and the man began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Now the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. Here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and I will tell him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So he went home to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, hugged him and embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring me the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is now found." So the party began. Meanwhile, the older brother was out in the fields working. And when he returned home, he heard music and dancing from the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. "Your brother has returned," they told him. "Your father has killed the fattened calf and we are celebrating his safe return." Now the brother was angry and refused to go in. So his father came out and begged him. But he replied, "All these years I have slaved for you, never once refusing to do a single thing that you asked me to do. And in all that time, you never even gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. And yet, when this son of yours returns after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." And his father said to him, "My dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is now found." Now Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he went, always pressing on towards Jerusalem. Now a man asked him this question, "Teacher, will only a few be saved?" And Jesus replied, "Work hard to enter through the narrow gate to the kingdom of heaven, for many will try and will fail. And then you will be standing outside knocking and pleading, 'Lord, please let us in.' And the master of the house will say, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' And then you will say, 'But we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But the master of the house will say, 'I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do evil.' And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of heaven, but you will be thrown out. But the Son of Man will come in his glory, all the angels with him, and then he will be seated on his heavenly throne. All the nations will be gathered with him, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then he will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' And then these righteous ones will reply, 'But Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you naked or a stranger? When did we ever see you in prison or sick and help you?' And then Jesus will reply, 'I tell you the truth. When you did this to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And then he will turn to those on his left and say, away with you, cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't show me hospitality. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And they will reply, but Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will say, I tell you the truth. When you refused to do this, the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to do it to me. And then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Now Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, please, give me a drink. Now Jesus was alone at this point because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to him, why are you asking me for a drink? You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. And Jesus replied, if only you knew the gift that God has for you and who it is you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And she said, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this well is very deep. Where would you find this living water? And he replied, anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Now Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, so he sat down and he taught them. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, as he was speaking, the Pharisees and teachers of religious law brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Now they were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and he said to them, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Now when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus remained in the middle of the crowd with the woman. He stood up again and said to her, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? She said, no, Lord. And he told her, neither do I. Go and sin no more. And then Jesus spoke again to the crowd and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Amen.